as Milton said, we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. And I want to get, in fact, before I start, I just want to kind of go and talk about a little bit about what Sam spoke about last week. And if you haven't seen that message, it would be great for you to actually go ahead after this and watch it. It was amazing. He spoke about the basis of his message was about circumcision and what that actually means. And what does circumcision, whereas the Old Testament spoke about circumcision and it was about acts, he was talking about actually circumcising our hearts and the power of living a life that is dedicated to Christ. And how we can, and how Christ wants us to move forward, not by works, but also by the circumcision of our hearts. And today we're going to continue on from where, in fact, I think we're going to overlap, in fact, on what Sam spoke about last week. So without further ado, if we can have this, we're going to have this morning's scripture read to you by Trevor. Over to you.
All right. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. But I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That is the word today.
Thank you for that reading there, Trevor. Let's start off by asking you a question. Do you remember being young or being at school or as a child, or your parents asking you, school teachers asking you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then you have, it starts a chain of thought of these sort of ideas of what you want to, what the ideal, you know, era or thought of achievement is. And you start working towards those. And as you grow older, some of those things slightly change. And then you start looking at maybe some other areas that, because you've grown up, you're a little bit wiser now. You're like, oh, well, maybe I want to do something else. And as life goes on, those achievements start to change, or you start to actually achieve some of those things. And you start to feel confident in your achievements and, you know, proud of the fact that you've gained what you've gained and got what you've got and so forth. And others actually start to feel that way about you as well. And, you know, you have your parents that are happy or friends that are happy for you that you've done really well. Your uncle and aunts, you know, they clap for you and make you feel, you know, happy about yourself and the fact that you've done well. Well, Paul has the best sort of story to be able to tell in terms of achievements. And we saw that in last week's message, where Sam spoke about how Paul, above all things, he could boast about everything. Now, it's interesting that we have to actually remember that Paul is actually writing from prison at the present moment. He's writing to the Philippian church to encourage them. So, and then he goes about, and as we just read, that he everything he thought was gain, he counted as loss. And that's where I want to start my message today. It says that Paul counted, my message title is Count It All as Loss. And it's interesting because in this particular preceding sort of verses, in verses 4 and 5, Paul says what he counted as gain, he now sees as loss. And what was it that he was counting as gain? Let's just quickly share that with you so that we can actually go and understand why he said it was gain or what it was that he was gaining. He said that he was circumcised. He was an Israelite, to be more specific, of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, Benjamin, he says a Benjamite. He was zealous and he was a Pharisee, so much so he went around killing Christians. So he wasn't just a Pharisee, he was zealous and confident in it. He went around doing, stuff that he should never have done, which is killing Christians. He carried out the law blamelessly. Now that's That's an achievement. And for him to say this is what, and this is him speaking, for him to say this in a letter, it suggests that how confident Paul was in what he was doing and what he was achieving. And then in Galatians 1 and 14, he goes as far as, I want to share something else, because he talks about himself as well, again in this. He says, "And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." Paul here says that he was zealous. He was advancing in Judaism beyond all of his peers. Anyone have those individuals that did so well at school and they made you think, "Oh, I wish I was like that"? Or you had your parents that would say to you, "Why can't you be like that child? He does this, he studies so well." I mean, in my family, I'm Nigerian. So really and truly, if you're an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor, you get praised. So Tunde, I'm sure his family, he was the golden child in his family. he's an accountant. Where I said, "I want to be a designer." It's like, "Oh, wow, what is that? Designer? Do they even make money?" But here's Paul. Paul was that golden child. And Paul has excelled in everything that he's been doing, over an achiever. He was taught in the best school possible by the best teacher around. He went, not only he knew the Torah from front to back, and that's what he counted as gain. It was his works that he started to count as gain. And that's where I want us to kind of understand what is it that we count as gain? What is it that's making you confident in your life? What have you achieved? What is it that you've said about yourself that makes you want to be, you know, confident in your achievements when really and truly God is saying, "No, what you're counting as gain isn't what I'm counting as gain." And it's let's take a look at the text that he actually went on and said that he counted, or how he counted it as loss, because it's interesting that, and it's interesting what he actually says to the Philippians about what he counted as loss and how he counted it as loss. He goes as far as, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. For the sake, I counted everything as loss." And goes as far as, "I have suffered the loss of all things. Count them as rubbish." So let's look at it. "I counted as loss," past tense. "I count everything as loss," current. And he goes, "I suffered," and so he suffered, which is past tense again. And he goes on and says, "I count them as rubbish." So he continues to count these things as rubbish. And it's interesting just to see how he talks about that. He's now transformed from what he saw as gain. He is a mature Christian now. So he says he's transferred from seeing all those things that he achieved as gain to being, "I changed it and then I counted them as loss as past. I now currently count everything as loss. And then I suffered in this process," because there is a process that is required in some situations, you count things as loss. I mean, some things you have to suffer in that loss, which I'll go on and speak about in a second. And then he goes, he counts them as rubbish. And that's interesting. What is it that you was doing in your past life? Or what is it that you're doing currently? What is it that you gain confidence in? And Paul, let me make this straight. Paul's not saying, obviously, Paul cannot change the fact that he's circumcised. He certainly can't change that. He can't change the fact that he's an Israelite or a Benjamite. He can't change the fact that he even killed Christians. He's not even changing the fact that he's a zealous individual. Paul is obviously one of those people that was very, very confident. He wasn't unsure. He knew exactly what he was trying to achieve and went out to go and do it. It wasn't like he was in between two minds He knew exactly who he was and how he was going to achieve the things that he was trying to achieve. So I say the same thing onto you. What is it that God wants you to achieve? What is it God wants you to stop achieving? So let's look at this. Our perspective. Where does our perspective can help us to direct your judgment? Can help your, it can direct your decision, your attitude, and your thoughts, and your actions. Our perspectives can be derived from our family traditions, our experiences, what you see, and what your thought, or sorry, what you're taught or what you learn. And remember, Paul said that he was doing this in terms of the traditions of his fathers. How many of us are actually taking on traditions from our family members? How many of us are actually taking on attitudes and characters that we are subconsciously just injuring in our relationships with? Yeah, you're saying that, okay, well, I haven't really got, you know, there's nothing that I'm doing that is, that has stopped me from getting to where I need to get to. But there is the fact that, wait up, what you're doing is also injuring maybe your relationships, your friendships. And these are carried on from family traditions or the way that your mother was or your father taught you. That's what's caused you to be the way that you are today. And God is saying, no, that's not what I want. Understand that all of these things, they help, they direct your judgment, your decisions, your attitude, your thoughts, your actions, family traditions and experiences. And ultimately, they affect your heart and your and shape your reality. And last week, Sam spoke about your heart and how important that was. Now, what is it that you need to think about that? What is it that your heart's being shaped by? What is it that God wants you to stop? How is it that God is saying, stop? Understand that the things that you see as valuable is not what I see as valuable. The things that you're gaining confidence from, your achievements, your what you've attained, and like praise be to God, yeah, I did become a designer. I've worked across the globe, in fact, different parts of the world, and I've worked with large companies. I've got married, had a child, got a house, got a car. For most would say, I've done relatively well. But if I put my value in who I am based on those achievements, I'm losing what Christ, in fact, I'm losing what Christ says I am. And I'm not any of those things. And it's important that we realize that Christ, and this is the thought, and this is the process that Paul went through. Paul started to realize that it wasn't about the fact that I'm Israelite, about these things. And in fact, when Christ came into his life, it helped him change his perspective. And that's the important thing. We've got to understand that what is it that is governing the perspective of our lives? Is it our achievements or is it Christ? And we need to make sure that the things that is governing our life is the perspective that Christ has given us, not what we've achieved. So Paul goes as far as to say, let's quickly. Paul goes, it was for Christ's sake that I changed who I was. It was because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ that changed who I was. And we need to understand that we need to get to that same place that Paul is, where we can start saying that it's for the sake of Christ. What, and it's when Christ comes into our life, he wants to change our perspective. It's almost like, you know, when you go into a dark room and the light is off and it's nighttime, you stumble around, if it's your own place, you kind of figure out, know roughly where you're going because of the fact that you become familiar with it. But if you're in a place that you do not know, which is, no one knows tomorrow, but Christ does. So everybody is at the same place. We are all unfamiliar with tomorrow. Christ wants to turn on the light so you can maneuver better through your tomorrow, through your present current situation. Earlier on, I spoke about suffering the loss of that change. And sometimes when Christ causes us to change our perspective, sometimes it feels like there's a suffering of loss. Some of us, in fact, Jesus said, and it's harsh, he says, you must love me more than you love your parents, your mother and your father and so forth. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. And in the division that he refers to is our consecration. You know, when there's a separation that occurs when Christ comes into our lives. He wants us to and it's interesting because this happened to Adam and Eve. When sin came into the world, they separated from God. When Christ comes into our life, he brings us back to God. But in bringing us back, a separation occurs. So this is what Paul has now, and this is the revelation that Paul has received. He's received that, wait up, the things that I saw as gain, I now separate from. I now not gain no more value from it, no more dependence on it. But for the sake of Christ, I have become a new person. He's now transformed the way I thought because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And that's what we want to do. When you know who Christ is, and sometimes there's a lot of people that get dismayed and they read the Bible and they make up stuff that isn't really true. But when you get to know who Christ is, you understand the full love he has for you. He wants to consecrate you. He wants to make you holy. And Paul said, I suffered these losses. And some people, and as I said, some people they go through this loss. Some people have lost family. Some people have lost friends. Jesus knew he was going to divide us. It's strange because some of us are trying to actually be like the world, to be accepted as the world. But understand, they will see, if Jesus said, those that are in the world see this word as foolishness, why would you expect to be accepted from a set of people that see his word as foolishness? It's impossible. So consecration occurs and separation happens. So we're meant to be in the world, but not of the world. And Paul talks about the knowing of Christ. It's the knowing of Christ that transforms me and takes me. So he also refers to, the Bible scripture also refers to that we should be ye not conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why Paul says it's the surpassing knowledge of knowing him. And it's not, and do you know what? We know this, Jesus, he talks about a story of some people that get to heaven and they've done all these achievements and they said, oh, Lord, didn't I heal in your name? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And then he says, turn from me, I know you not. So they were very aware of the scripture. So saints, let's be real. The fact that we're on this call, the fact that we're in church weekly doesn't suggest that we're actually going to go to heaven. It's the fact that you want to know him, you want to submit to him, rely on him, have confidence in him, and allow him to do his work in your life. And it's about being humble and saying, Lord, here I am. Do you know what? I want to know your will. I want to know you. I am willing to let go of those things that mean a lot to me, and it's hard to do so in sometimes. I know I faced, anyone else face challenges letting go of old habits, old ways, sinful natures? It was hard. And this is where Paul says, I suffered suffered the loss of doing so. Some of us know of friends and families that have turned their backs on us because of the fact that we've chose Christ and they haven't. And don't worry, do you know what? The person that has changed isn't them, it's you. They ain't changed. Your friends haven't changed. You've changed. Christ has said, I'm going to separate you from the world. And that's the power that you receive. And that's the understanding. And he says, the reason why the reason why I want to deal with this is so that I can gain Christ. What's the blockage in your life? What's actually blocking you from knowing Christ? What's actually blocking Christ from getting closer to you? Let's be real. There are times when it becomes hard, but Christ is saying, I want to know you more. I want to do more with you, but I'm finding it very challenging to do so. Because there are blockages in your life. There are values that you have that is not from me. Paul said that he was following the traditions of his fathers. And that's what made him so zealous. Sorry, that's not what made him so zealous. He was so zealous about those things. And his heart was turned towards those things. And Christ is saying, I can't do what I need to do with you with your heart focused on these other things that are causing and giving you value. Paul then goes on in verse 9, talks about working for righteousness. I'll read it. And be found in him. Sorry, he counts it all gain and be found to count it all gain and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Do you know what? I used to hear the word righteousness. I used to hear the word holy, and it used to frighten me. I remember anyone else used to be kind of frightened by that whole word righteousness and holiness. Oof, yeah, that was untenable for me. Just especially as you're coming from the world and you're hearing the word righteousness and you're hearing the word holy. How is it possible for me to be righteous? How is it possible for me to be holy? Do you know what? I might as well do this one foot in, one foot out thing because it's, yeah, this is crazy. I don't think I'm actually going to achieve this. But Paul comes to the revelation, says, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law. So remember, Paul was talking about all the things that he was doing to have the law come to pass. Oh, sorry, to fulfill the things of the law. But that which comes through faith in Christ is what gains him righteousness. So it's not what he's doing. It's what Christ has done. And all he needs to do is accept Christ as his Lord and Savior through faith. So his faith in Christ makes him righteous. And that's utterly profound. It takes the weight off of us. It's no longer about us, but it's about Christ. In Romans 4:4-5 says, now to a laborer, his wages are not credited as a favor or a gift, but as an obligation, something owed to him. But to the one who does not work, that is, the one who does not try to earn his salvation by doing good, but believes and completely trusts in him who justifies the ungodly. Any ungodly people in here? His faith is credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. And I think, Sam actually read some of this chapter last week. Any ungodly people, as I said? So now understand, you don't have to be righteous through your works. Now, I like the way Paul, the analogy that Paul used, which was about a worker that has worked all day. And then at the end of the day, your boss comes and says to you, oh, do you know what? I was feeling so good today. I'm so happy. I just feel like giving you, you know, some money. What do you mean you feel like giving me some money? You owe me the money. It's your obligation to give me the money because I worked for it. But Paul's saying righteousness isn't like that. You don't actually have to do anything to be righteous. But to the one who does not work, he goes as far as to say. But all you do is believe and you completely trust in him who justifies the ungodly. Is it Christ? So what Christ done on the cross was to justify us, was to make us feel right, was to make us righteous through Jesus Christ that died and took our sins and paid the price so that we may be righteous. So for me, you don't have to worry about being holy. You need to believe and completely trust in Christ, who is your righteousness, who is your holiness. To get righteousness, you can't work your way to righteousness. Paul looked outside of himself for righteousness. Christ obtained righteousness for us by dying on the cross. Righteousness is gained through the faith in Christ. Your faith should be followed up by trust, dependence, reliance, and the love of Christ. That's what will gain you your righteousness. Your trust, dependence, and reliance on the love of Christ is what will give you righteousness in Christ. Because that's what Christ wants us to have, righteousness in him. Now, I want to speak through the last section of this, where Paul, in verse 10, he talks about that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. This scripture just talks about some in our lives, we actually suffer to know Christ. And that's going through the process of being baptized into our death and raised into resurrection. And that's being born again. And that's where we want to get to as Christians, that we're able to say, yes, we're happy to suffer, Lord. There are some things that may require us to suffer. There are some things that may require us to stand and not feel in the way that we that makes us feel comfortable. Some of us serve Christ based on our comfort. Whereas Paul's saying, no, I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to die and feel resurrected through your power. And if you read Romans 6, verses 1 to 11, it actually goes into deep, Paul goes into full detail as into what he actually means by going and dying to the flesh and being resurrected through Christ. So it's important that, as I said, we understand that living for Christ isn't about how we feel. And obtaining righteousness is not done by what we gain value in or what Paul put value in, which is, you know, doing the things of the law. But it's actually through Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we don't have to work for it. So I want to share these points with you. Pray to God and ask him to change your perspective. Ask Christ to show you what in your life you need to let go of. Ensure that you have total reliance, dependence, commitment, love, and faith in Jesus Christ, as this is what makes you righteous. This is what makes us righteous. Ask him to change your perspective. Paul's perspective was changed. And it's important that we get our perspective changed. Ask Christ to show you what in your life you need to let go of. What is it that's blocking you? What is it that's stopping God from? What's in your pipe? What values? What things are you seeing? You have a lot of pride in that you're not allowing Christ to actually give you value. And the most important thing for me is to ensure that you have total reliance, dependence. Have total reliance for dependence and commitment and love and faith in Christ. Have total reliance, dependence and commitment and love and faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing, saints. Let's have that dependence. Let's have total commitment and trust in Christ, because it's through him that we're able to do all things. And it's there.